This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Four Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Four Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to jennylanda.com, that's JENILANDA.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed. From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. Now it's time for a Spotlight Star Wars with your host, Ken Knapsack.
Welcome to another episode of Spotlight Star Wars, episode 147 for this show. And wow, can you believe it? We are racing towards episode 1,000 of Four Center. Just the overall feed, 1,000 broadcasts are on the way. I can't wait to celebrate with all of you. Muted, right? You know, Joseph and I, we punch in, we punch out, we show up at the Four Center factory, we have a good time. We don't want any balloons. We don't need the cake. Don't go down to the grocery store and get that cheap cake for an office party. We don't need it. We're going to celebrate with all of you. We got a special 1,000th episode coming, and I can't confirm as of right now. Scheduled, Jennifer Landon will be back in studio with us, and we're doing a special episode with her. And I also want to tease for Four Center fans, for Patreon supporters, an exclusive commemorative 1,000th Four Center episode poster designed by the great Brian Ward. It's on its way to you. I've seen it. We have it. And man, it looks good. We're just working out the details on how best to get that out. If it's going to be available to all the listeners or just Patreon supporters first. We're working on that kind of stuff. We want you to celebrate with us in any way, shape, or form. And if you'd like a cool little poster, it is coming your way and more things. So stay tuned for that. More details coming. It's just crazy. I'm in that reflective mood. It's you look back and we do a lot of episodes. We average right now 4 a week. So you're going to pile up the numbers. But 6 years, 1,000 episodes, most of them seem like yesterday. Some of them we don't even remember what we've done. It's kind of crazy. And we have numbers can be weird. When you're tracking podcasts, some people ask, you know, Ken, I'm thinking of starting a podcast. What's the advice? And I'm like, well, you know, go in there, roll up your sleeves, do the show you want to do. Don't worry if anyone is out there doing a similar show or it's just another Star Wars podcast. Don't worry about that. Do your show. Tell your story. And pick up the broadcasting skills as you go along. And the equipment can improve as you go along. Just do it. Just start. And then also, make sure you accurately count your numbers. Over the years, you look back and you'll be like, wow, I double counted that. An episode 300 might actually have been episode 301 or episode 299. It happens. It's like Star Wars canon. Sometimes the edges blur and you just, it's a different version of a legend we've all heard. But I can confirm that this 1,000th episode is true. It's true by our records. And when I say our records, I shouted them out when we first got this list. But we'll probably shout him out on the 1,000th episode. But one of our listeners, one of our dear listeners, Simon Huffnagel, had reached out to me via email and was like, hey, some of the old Four Center episodes, the audio files are busted, a little broken. And unfortunately, we still have that issue. A lot of the older episodes, the same issue is there. 20 minutes in, the episode just kind of cuts off. It was a back-end IT problem with Anchor, and it just never got fixed, despite high-end Anchor. We needed Beaumont Ken. He's more of a historian, but he knows all the facts. We needed Star Wars researchers to show on up and dig in. It didn't happen. So Simon reached out and said, look, I've been kind of tracking the episodes for my own thing, and so I'll have a Google sheet for you. If you'd like it, I'm just putting it together. So great. And he sent it to me, and it tracks the episodes that are broken, episodes that are working, and I've gone and updated the episodes that are fixed, and Simon just did an amazing job and even found some of the little errors. I think it's like Four Center 9. Like, we're going main show number nine might actually be a repeat. So we count one as 9.5. We recorded on the same day. So it's similar. It works. You just got to go with it. But the episode 1000 is real. And that's the first time I really had paid attention to it. And looked at, and we did the estimation of when that episode will most likely be. We're going to record it a little bit ahead of time, and it was crazy. And I've just been looking back, and you go through the list, all the topics, the things we've ranked, the things we've debated, the things we've wondered about, the things we've celebrated. It's so much, but it's not a lot of time. 2015 is a lifetime ago, and it's also a blink of the eye. And for Star Wars fans, it's just been this wonderful, wonderful era of celebrating Star Wars, which is what we love doing here. And this show spotlights Star Wars, which began on my own podcast feed, The Knapsack Files, as just a Saturday ramble. I just would get in front of an old microphone I had and just ramble about my love of Star Wars. And this was coming out of the days of Jedi Alliance not being in my routine anymore and in my career anymore. So it's grown from that. And I used to always say that, and I say it now. It's a great time to be a Star Wars fan. And if you go back to 2015, and we go back to 2012, even if the sale happened, but late 2015 is when Four Center emerged. And if you go back and you start saying some of the names to me, like, hey, Ken, in 2021, you're going to be really excited about the return of this character. Boink. Now, I'm going to give some spoiler warnings right here, though. I think by now, either you've read the issues, you've seen the thumbnails on YouTube, or you just know. But a spoiler for the current Star Wars Marvel crossover event, War of the Bounty Hunters. I'm going to talk about that a little bit here and reveal some of the character stuff. So if you haven't read and you want to get to it and you haven't been spoiled yet, or you don't know some stuff going on, spoiler warning indeed. But for the rest of us, holy beep, I love that Kira is back. I love the character of Kira. Big fan of Emilia Clarke. If you want to talk about someone, you know, we've celebrity obsessed culture is what it is. It's not going away. It's been here for generations now. And it's not all bad. It's definitely not all great. But there's definitely people out there that we put a lot of stock into and we put a lot of support behind. And maybe in the end, they're not as deserving as that as we once thought. It can be disappointing. It can be challenging. Fortunately, Star Wars is generally, I think, without that. I think we're pretty fortunate. Going back, even, not everything's perfect. Not everyone's perfect. Carrie Fisher wasn't perfect, and we celebrated her for owning who she was, a complete 180 degree, a 360 degree, a 420 degree view of Carrie Fisher and who she was. And Harrison Ford's had some, I read The Princess Diaries, and I go, yeah. All right, you know, different time. But generally speaking, we really are fortunate in Star Wars that the creators and the people that come on board and the people behind the scenes, generally speaking, we can all support. But I really do believe Emilia Clarke. If you read about who she is and you follow her and you just see that infectious smile and that contagious laugh and you see her work that she does with her charity organization, Same You, which is about traumatic brain injuries, something she herself suffered before season two of Game of Thrones and shot that whole season, recovering from that and all that kind of stuff. You know, she's a person we can get behind, I think, in the Star Wars galaxy. And I think that's part of the reason, as well as just the character and as well as the underrated nature of Solo, A Star Wars Story. I think that's why the legend of Kira has grown, and we want more. We want more with Infus Nest. We want more Solo, right? We want a lot of that era of that group, even not just the era, but just the characters and the cast. We want to celebrate more Star Wars with them. I think that's part of a large part of the reason behind the Make Solo 2 stuff happened, started in earnest by the Resistance Broadcast team and Star Wars Newsnet team over there. So I see where it all comes from, and I see a lot of the energy and love put into the character of Kira. So I was a little dubious, and I'm always a little behind on the comics. I think as of last week, I was like caught up with the War of the Bounty Hunters. I think so. That means I'm about an issue or two behind. Just is what it is when you're still holding on to buying physical copies of comic books, which is fun because when I do that, when I go buy the physical copies of comic books at my shop, which for me, again, is Earth 2 in Northridge, Northridge, California, I'm able to discover things like the golden books that super golden book I picked up. That is all the Skywalker Saga golden books in one. It's one of my greatest purchases ever as a Star Wars fan. That's why I love going to my shop other than just to support the local shop. But that puts me a little bit behind. But I finally caught up, and I when news broke and I was spoiled on the return of Kira, saw some YouTube thumbnails, and it is what it is. It's just, this is the era we are, and I just got to manage. You start to hear, hey, there's a character coming back. A lot of folks in the Force Center Discord do a great job of adding those spoiler tags, and we all appreciate that. And, I 5-6 years ago, knowing that a character returned in a comic, it wouldn't have been as big issue for me as it is now. And it's not a grumpy issue. It's just something I try to avoid. Same with set photos and leaks and that kind of stuff. 2014, if you had a Force Awakens set photo, I was looking. I just was so excited. I was so excited. But that's changed for me and it changed for a lot of folks. So upon hearing that Kira was returning and had made a surprise appearance in one of the War of the Bounty Hunter comic issues. I forget the specific one now. It might be the actual War of the Bounty Hunters. Number one, as everyone knows, it's Aphra. It's the main line. It's Vader all rolled into one. And the Bounty Hunters comic itself. I just was dubious. A little dubious. Like Larry David in Kirby Enthusiasm. I sense in you're dubious. Yeah, you're dubious. I love the character of Kira. I've done a solo Star Wars ranked on Kira. We talk about Kira all the time. I love Most Wanted by Ray Carson, which I think sheds some just amazing light and provides even more insight on Kira. And one of those moments with Han in Most Wanted is a moment I wrote about in my book, Why We Love Star Wars. But I just didn't know. I just wasn't sure. Part of the problem is I have a little bit of an issue with the Marvel Comics. Issue meaning, they get a little wild. We've talked about it here. Joseph and I don't really take a deep dive into them. We're a little behind. We'll catch up with the big ones. We like them. Everyone, every idea that pops up, we're like, that sounds like a great little miniseries. We'll dig in. And some are wonderful, and some don't hit the mark. And guess what? That's fine. I think Force Center listeners don't hear Joseph and I just discuss things in Star Wars in a negative way in any way, shape, or form. But even to kind of say, the comics aren't always for us. I don't know. Maybe that might rattle your cage a little bit. I don't know. So we kind of avoid it. And I'm not doing a full War of the Bounty Hunter review here. But I wasn't sure I wanted Kira back in this fashion. I want Emilia Clarke back. Whether it be Solo 2 or a Kira versus Maul series, an Infus Nest series, Andor. I don't care. Make it happen. I want to see Emilia Clarke back in the role. Love reading about her, clearly. Again, Most Wanted. Love that book. Ray Carson did an amazing job with the character. And I trust the Marvel comic writers. I really do think they put some really talented people in charge of them, both as with the art and the inking and the designs and just the actual writing itself. And Charles Soule, working on any Star Wars thing, I'm going to be there for that as well. Again, I can't say it any other way. I just wasn't quite sure. But then I started getting some fresh perspective on what's going on in the War of the Bounty Hunters by going to my local comic shop. This is what, look, I'll order things online. You know, a bag of Oreos and some soda, order them online. I don't care. I don't need you to talk to the person checking you out of the grocery store every week. But going to the comic shop and just having those old style, old school conversations about the things you love is a great information exchange. It's a great opinion exchange for me. And I was talking to my guy who manages my shop. His name's Chris. And Chris is wonderful because you meet him, you see him, and you'd never judge a book on his cover. He's like me. He's kind of a burly, grumpy dude, you think. He just kind of has that aura about him. Yeah, you know, I got a feeling that guy might not like Rise of Skywalker or not root for Rey. And then you talk to him, and that's not true. He's an EU guy. He's been reading and studying Star Wars for years, like me, but, you know, he's way more into EU and legend stuff than I am by far. And so sometimes even I am guilty, not even like often I am guilty of not prejudging, but being pre-concerned about having a Star Wars conversation. It's like, hey, have you read the Clone Trooper books by Karen Tavis? I'm immediately like, oh, God, I've heard they're great, but I also know that a lot of people use that as a basis to not like the Clone Wars, you know? But in talking with him, he's there. He's always even said, I look for what's good in Star Wars stories, and that's what I try to focus on. I'm like, brother, we're going to be friends. And here I am going to the comic shop, and he's done an amazing job. I even mentioned it on a recent episode here of he's like, hey, here's whether he's mail him out for because during the pandemic, I've been the height of the lockdown, especially I've been ordering and having him mail out the comics. He'll put them in order. War of the Bounty Hunters, it's kind of a confusing crossover event, so he'll put them in order. He'll take great care to be like, this issue, that issue, this issue, this issue. And I know Marvel is like a checklist in the back, but he doesn't want me to have to flip to the back. He just read these in these order. I'll leave a little note. So we were chatting about that stuff, and he goes, what do you think about this War of the Bounty Hunters series? I'm like, yeah, I do that thing. Whenever, you know, we all raise the pitch of our voice and do that, you know. And he says, I get it. But he goes, you know, I was a little worried. It's hallowed ground. I'm paraphrasing him a bit, but Chris was like, it's hallowed ground. Empire to Return of the Jedi, Boba Fett, Han and Carbonite, Leia, Luke and Chewie and Lando going to get him, the droids. It's hallowed ground. But, and he said this, he says, look, something happened in about that year's time, roughly. Time between the two movies, which Star Wars timelines, just in general conversation, can be confusing, but that's roughly it, right? 3 years, New Hope, Empire, a year, some months, maybe a little less, a little more for Jedi and Empire. And he said something happened in that time. The fact that they were just now going to get their friend, that they had just now found the way to get their friend from Jabba's palace. And do we believe that Boba Fett has just been hanging out there for a year, partying? Yeah, I don't know, maybe took a year off, took a vacation. I could see Dengar doing that. But Boba Fett, doesn't make sense. Yes, he could come and go, but, you know, 1983, these are maybe questions we had, but they weren't giant questions that we needed answers to. But now we have these answers forthcoming, and he just gave me this perspective of, you know, they're taking a stab at answering that question, and I kind of like what they're putting out. And that calmed me down. It calmed me down for the series. It calmed me down. Just take it all in as a fun playground conversation about, hey, why did it take Luke and Leia, Han and Lando and Chewie, to go rescue Han? Why did it take them a bit? What happened? Boba Fett goes straight there? Well, now we're getting a canon answer. Now we're getting a fun, wild, crazy, giant crossover event with characters that didn't exist when we were first asking ourselves these questions. Dr. Aphra, Sanistaros, Kira. But now we have these characters, and they're being weaved into this classic story. They're being weaved into this important timeline and time frame. And it's been fun. And once again, I took my foot off the gas of the freeway of driving down the freeway of doubt. And I've been able to, therefore, enjoy the return of Kira in a way that I seem to be setting myself up to not enjoy. I seem to be setting myself up to be a little bit grumpy about, this is how Kira came. I wanted Kira in a series and shoves him in a comic book. It's not what we should do. Again, not everything's going to work. Not everything has to work for a Star Wars fan. But I let that all go, and I'm enjoying this wild, crazy, not to quote Steve Martin or Dan Aykroyd, but this wild and crazy series, and I'm enjoying Kira's return. It shows me that Star Wars creators, we'll see if it goes all the way up to the top. I don't know how many conversations Kathleen Kennedy's had this week about Kira. Hopefully many. But I love that there's people there that understand the love for this character, the appreciation for this character, the need for this character, not just from us as fans, but for this, from the story. The return of Crimson Dawn, what they were doing in these dormant years, where literally everyone in this comic series is saying, Crimson Dawn, I mean, they were scary at one point, but they went away. What happened? And Kira very clearly didn't go just simply hide. She didn't go get a job working at the competitor to Dexter's Diner down the street. She didn't go underground. She gained and grew in some way, not publicly. I'm excited about this tip of the iceberg storytelling. How did she kind of lay low? I mean, don't get me wrong. She's clearly laid low. Crimson Dawn is clearly done. Something happened to them, and they figured stuff out, and They move forward in a different way. I'm intrigued to know what that is. I'm intrigued to hear the rest of the story. And it excites me that we're starting to get some of those answers. And then it's just great to see Kira standing before other people in great costumes, great outfits. They're on the comic page. They're wonderfully designed. They're wonderfully colored. They're wonderfully inked. But I can now see them on a Disney Plus series in my mind or see them in another movie. She looks wonderful. They've done great with the designs of that character. They really have. And it's great to see her not being someone in the shadows, someone whispering, hey, I used to be someone. I've been a kind of return to being a scrum rat in the downtime, but now here I am. It works for other characters. Ahsoka has to kind of go low and hide and be something else and get to another point by the time we see in Rebels. Rex and Gregor and Wolf and all these characters, Jedi, Obi-Wan Kenobi, everyone on that side, I get. Makes sense with the running and hiding. Yeah, Kira has to do some running, has to do some hiding. But I like that Kira hasn't returned with some smudges on her face, some tattered rags, and been like, times are tough, but I got some information that might help you. I love that Kira has returned with power. She's returned with purpose. It's a glorious return for me. I'm really, really excited about what they can do. Again, I'm an issue or two behind. So I can't wait for even more information. But even if something happens to the character of Kira in the comic series that ends her storyline going forward into the New Republic era, the sequel era, even if something happens to the character that's bad, I love now that we now have a little bit of an ending point between the end of Solo: A Star Wars Story, Kira making some big, big, fate-filled decisions. We have a plot. We know where we're going from that moment to this grand return. She may have lost a lot of power along the way. She may have had to make some adjustments, but she is a bigger, bolder version of that character at the end of Solo. What has she learned? What has she truly lost? What has she held in her heart and thought in her mind about that smuggler, Han Solo? I absolutely want that. I absolutely want those answers, and I hope we'll get them, because I think the positive response and the way they've handled the return of Kira in the War of the Bounty Hunters comics gives me hope for more Star Wars storytelling around that wonderful character. It's great to have Kira back. I'm happy to say those words. All right, on this day in Star Wars history, August 1st, 1975, according to the Star Wars app, I suggest you get it, Lucas It's George Lucas completes his third draft of Star Wars, now titled The Star Wars from the Adventures of Luke Starkiller. Now, no secret, I think a lot of people, if you've been around the Star Wars galaxy, celebrating, watching, and taking in everything Star Wars, we know these stories. We know the legends of, not Luke Starkiller, but George Lucas. First writing and crafting his crazy, wild, Flash Gordon-inspired space serial and turning it into the movie that the entire world fell in love with in 1977. But seeing this got me thinking about a few things around George and his early drafts, now so famous in their own way. One of the first things I wanted to talk about was J.W. Rinzler's Dark Horse The Star Wars series. This came out in 2014. Now, J.W. Rinzler, if you aren't familiar with him, you should be. Man, just check out all the wonderful work that he has done. A lot of the great behind-the-scenes books, the making-ofs from a few years ago. Just wonderful stuff. And he is, it was recently announced that he is battling pancreatic cancer. They were making end-of-life plans, and his daughter announced a GoFundMe that was very successful to help get them some funds to ease the burden of this transition to the next spot down the road for Mr. Rinzler. It's heartbreaking. It's tragic. It's unfortunately a part of life. And what will remain for us as fans is the great work and the great insights that Jonathan W. Rinzler has put out there. And the focus should understandably be on those making of books, but he wrote the Dark Horse adaptation of George's original draft from Star Wars. This is the one from about 1974. What was it, about 72, 73 that George grabbed out that yellow pad of paper and started scribbling down some notes on the characters that would eventually be the ones we all fell in love with? Mike Mayhew illustrated the series. It was edited by Randy Stradley. It's one of the last things. It came out in September, looks like 2013. I'm trying to get some actual numbers on that. It went into 2014. It was one of the last things that Dark Horse put out, along with that short and wonderful Darth Maul series based on some Clone Wars scripts, that Dark Horse put out before the big switch. This was all obviously after the sale, and there were some things still out there. Then April 2014, they announced that what is old will now be old and new will begin when Star Wars canon takes on a new look around that era. So, you know, this might have been overlooked. You might have forgotten this. I did not. I would go to Earth 2 in Northridge, California and pick these up. It's an 8-issue comic book series. As I said, yes, I can confirm, launch in September 2013. Thank you, Wikipedia. What a source of information. They're wonderful. And now, this day in history, August 1st, 1975, I think that's a little bit of a different draft for George, but it's got to be somewhat similar. I think by now, by 75, the Star Wars that we would all know is roughly there, maybe a little bit closer to the form, but there's still a lot of changes, right? A lot of changes. Isn't even, probably in one of Rinzler's making of books. I do believe there is footage or scripts or something of even some of the characters addressing Mark Hamill's Luke Skywalker as Luke Starkiller. You never really know what's true or not in these Star Wars legends from behind the scenes. But this is true. This adaptation is true. And what I love about this, and I love this series. It is so wild. It is so different, but also still the Star Wars we know. It speaks to the power of continued creativity and the idea that, and I don't want to spin this into conversations about planning and the plans for Star Wars, but it's kind of in that conversation. This idea of the continued creativity, you don't just dump it all out onto a legal pad or onto a word processor or onto a typewriter, depending on when you sat down to write your opus. It doesn't end there. We know that. And it doesn't end on the set. And it doesn't end in the editing room. And it doesn't end for George even years later. The power of continued creativity is a must if you're a creative. It's a must if you're sitting down to build these worlds. And I love that George had this wild, crazy Star Wars story, the adventures of the Star Wars. And it didn't work, and it didn't. He didn't sit on it. And I love that he continued to sculpt and continued to create all the way up to the McClunky of it all. Just listen to how far, but also how close he was. If you allow me, if you don't mind, I'm going to read the crawl, so to speak, the description of this 8-issue series. It's wonderful. Aquilae, home of Princess Leia, is targeted by the Empire for conquest due to its advanced cloning technologies. The Aquilean king learns of the plot from one of his spies, Cleeg Whitson, who is an operative on the Imperial capital planet Alderaan. In defense of his world, the Aquilean king attacks the Empire's space fortress, causing a pair of droids to crash down onto the inhospitable Junlin wastes region of the planet. The king dies shortly thereafter, moving Princess Leia into the position of the Empire's target for a puppet ruler. Anakin Starkiller is now Padawan to Luke Skywalker, and the pair travel to protect the princess. After rescuing her, the pair lead her through the Junlin waste to the spaceport town Gordon, where they meet Han Solo. In this story, Solo is an Aurelian, a tall reptilian with a reputation for hunting Wookiees on their home planet of Yavin. Solo, an old friend of Kane Starkiller, charters a freighter off-world, captained by an individual named Valorum. While escaping from Imperial patrols, Kane dies, sacrificing himself to save the others, and Valorum is revealed as a Sith Knight. After escaping from Valorum by stealing an Imperial ship, the protagonists are chased through an asteroid field and forced to land on the Wookiee homeworld. There, they align with the Wookiees, who are in the midst of fighting Aurelians, and meet a Wookiee named Chewbacca. The group gathers at the home of a pair of anthropologists, Owen and Beru Lars, where Leia is recaptured by Imperial forces and taken to the space fortress. I guess not quite a hidden fortress. Rushing back to Aquilae to save Leia, Anakin dons stormtrooper armor to infiltrate the space fortress, but is captured in the process. A largely off-screen Darth Vader orders Valorum to kill Starkiller, but Valorum has a change of heart and sets Starkiller free. Starkiller rescues Leia and escapes just in time as Luke Skywalker leads a squadron of fighters piloted by Wookiees to destroy the space fortress. Returning to Aquilae, now Queen Leia appoints Anakin Starkiller, Lord Protector of Aquilae. Oh, that is an amazing summary of George Lucas almost having the story down to where he wanted it to be. It's all there. And this is stuff I know I've mentioned it before. I always cite the name Mace Windu, which pops up in drafts of a lot of Lucas's scripts. The planet Naboo. It's all there. If you've ever written a script or a book or any kind of story and you go through these kind of changes, maybe you're a kid in high school jotting down a dream project, you'll find 10, 15 years later, you'll pull a post-it note out of a binder and be like, Cleeg Whitesun, wait, I could use that name, Valorum. I've always loved that name, Valorum. I'll find a way to get that into another project. It's no different with George Lucas. These names, these planets, these characters, these species, it was all there. He just needed to whittle it all down. And this story itself, just on the surface, it's not too bad there. It's kind of what we do come to know and love. And if you read the comic, it's so weird when you read it. When I just read this description, it sounds to me like, oh, okay, this is kind of the New Hope we know, right? You read the comic and the designs and Han Solo being reptilian, all those kind of things, and you see these names that you're familiar with or names that you've heard in the lore of behind-the-scenes stuff. It does a little thing on your mind. It just kind of warps your head a little bit. So it seems like you're reading this amazingly different story, but it's all there. It's all almost there. But the power of continued creativity, it's almost more important than just the initial burst of creativity. So you're going to take your story, you're going to take your world, and you're going to keep telling it. You're going to keep finding the better way to tell it. You're going to get to set, and you're going to figure it out. You're going to get turn the page, and you're going to figure it out. And then you're going to finish it, and you go back and think, no, it's not. We're not done. Releases 15, 20 years after, special editions. I understand the conversations around that. I understand about leaving art as is in the era. I really do. I just love that George Lucas He's not quite done. He wasn't quite done. Who knows? With McClunky, I think it unveiled that maybe even George has some secrets out there for all of us to take in. Check it out, J.W. Rinsler's Dark Horse, the Star Wars series, if you haven't already. Highly recommend it for Star Wars fans. All right, let's wrap up this episode of Spotlight Star Wars, a monologue from me to you. And you are the wonderful Four Center friends that celebrate Star Wars with us. Wanted to leave with a Star Wars quote to grow on. Going back to episode one, the wisdom of Shmi Skywalker. Joseph and I love diving in to the wisdom of Shmi and an important thing she said in Phantom Menace that really do connect to so many other parts of the Star Wars story and are tremendously important to the character of Anakin Skywalker turned Darth Vader, which puts her wisdom often at the center of Star Wars. I love the quote to Anakin, "You can't stop the change any more than you can stop the suns from setting." Now, you can giggle at these suns because of the twin suns of Tatooine, but you can't stop the change. We can ruminate a lot about young Anakin wanting to be a Jedi, having dreams about being a Jedi, and coming back and freeing his mom and freeing the slaves and coming back for good reasons. If you read the novel of Phantom Menace, it's very present there, but it's also present in the film. He does talk about that kind of stuff. And that is change, and change he has to go through. When it finally comes down to it, the great scene of him walking away and the don't look back and all those kind of heart-wrenching moments in Phantom Menace. I just love this quote from Shmi about you can't stop the change, because change, even when positive, can hurt. Change can be challenging. Change is challenging, especially if you are always up against it and you're always fighting it. I think Anakin, at 9 years old, had a pure view of change. It just was hard. It was emotional. He didn't completely understand it. But it clearly festered and clearly grew. And clearly along the way, maybe he had some, incorrect advice, well-intentioned advice. He had people around him who wanted the best for him. And some delivered on that as best they could, and some failed to deliver on that idea of caring for the path of Anakin Skywalker. That's how Palpatine got in there. I mean, that joke, we can make jokes about, we'll watch your career closely. Palpatine, for lack of a better way of looking at it, Palpatine was invested when others maybe weren't. But if Anakin had just gone back and really taken in all the things his mom had told him. And I think the core of it's there. I really do believe a lot of Shmi's wisdom does drive his change in the end. But you can't stop the change. It's something that should not just resonate for Anakin. It should resonate for us. A lot going on in the world right now. A lot of nuanced conversations to have about changes all over the world. I'm there for those conversations. But at the end of the day, a lot of what I see out there is people not listening to Shmi. You can't stop the change, but you can certainly use it to grow from, to grow with, to ask yourself deep questions about who you are and what you are now and what you want to be then. It's painful and it's challenging. It's tough. Sometimes it's tragic. But you can't stop the change. You got to go forward. You can't look back. We all should listen to Shmi Skywalker. I'll see you next time on Spotlight Star Wars. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. We love throwing up some episodes on YouTube as kind of a rebroadcast if you like listening to things over there. We don't do all the episodes at this point, but maybe one day. We're on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. You can get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. You can get merch if you want, like a good Speculate Responsibly t-shirt at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can also support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. And yeah, don't forget, episode 1000 is on the way. Not of Spotlight Star Wars, not of Star Wars Rank, not a Data Bank Brawl, not a Happy Beeps, not the Jedi Beep. Not even the main show, the Superstar Destroyer Fleet. The 1,000th overall broadcast of Force Center is coming very soon. And we want to celebrate with all of you, especially those who support us on Patreon. All right, that's it for this week. We'll see you next time here on Spotlight Star Wars.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.